All right, everybody, welcome to Proverbs Every Day. My name is DJ, and we're going to be reading Proverbs 26 today in the Holman Christian Standard Bible. That sounds boring when I say it like that. It's not going to be boring today. I promise you that. Let's get going today. It's time for Proverbs Every Day. Words of wisdom show you the way. Every month a whole new look, different version of the book. Reading the whole chapter each calendar day. Proverbs Every Day. Proverbs Every Day. All right, another day, another proverb. It's the way we go. So we're in February this month, so we're doing things a little bit differently. So this might be the 23rd, but we're on to the 26th as far as the scripture goes. That's the way this works. So bear with me. It's our unique way of shortening the month and making sure we get everything in. And this is also, my day for church, and so I'll be on the stage doing my thing, and so I can't do a live broadcast, and so hopefully this blesses you nonetheless. But let's jump right into Proverbs 26 this morning. Like snow in summer and rain at harvest, honor is inappropriate for a fool. just saying. Like a flitting sparrow or a flooding... Like a flitting sparrow or a fluttering swallow is an undeserved curse goes nowhere. An undeserved curse goes nowhere. Really, really, guys, really? Flitting sparrow or a fluttering swallow? Come on. You need to work out the mouth muscles just to get through that verse two there. Okay, but seriously, what we're seeing here is a pattern of, you know, the right thing in the right place at the right time. A whip for the horse, a bridle for the donkey, and a rod for the back of fools. Yeah. Stubbornness has its results, right? Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him yourself. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in your own eyes. Now, this is always interesting because of that or. So, we've struggled with this in months past of saying this just looks like the same thing. Don't answer a fool according to his foolishness, or you'll be like him. Answer a fool according to his foolishness, or he'll become wise in his own eyes. And so it's basically saying don't and then do. But it's the same instruction, answer a fool according to his foolishness. And so another translation of this has this part right here. The don't answer. It says don't acknowledge a fool according to his foolishness, or you'd be like him. Answer him according to his own foolishness, or sorry, I might be misstating this. The second part where it says, verse 5 says, answer a fool, don't acknowledge a fool, or he'll become wise in his own eyes. It's basically saying that if you allow this person to be justified in their foolishness, then they will interpret that as, well, I guess I was right, and you will be a fool. because of that. So in other words, don't answer a fool according to his foolishness. Answer with wisdom, or just stare at him awkwardly and just give him the serious, he's serious right now? Stare. Yeah. Okay. Maybe don't do that. Well, yeah. Do what you deem right. I have, on more than one occasion lately, kind of had that countenance to myself of just having that moment of collecting myself and just letting them you know, it maybe not have that the look. I try to keep my look as neutral as possible, but there are times where I will just remain silent and let them kind of either correct themselves or just go about their way. But sometimes that don't answer a fool according to his foolishness is, you know, trying to engage with somebody who's in that kind of position is not always productive, because what they need is a rod, you know, it's not, it's what they're after. And you need to be, you know, discerning as to whether you're going to be the one to give it to them or not. And usually the answer is not. The one who sends a message by a fool's hand cuts off his own feet and drinks violence. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like lame legs that hang limp. Giving honor to a fool is like binding a stone in a sling. Footnote here, a stone bound in a sling would not release and cause harm to the person using the sling. Modern equivalent is jamming a cork in a gun barrel. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns, brandished by the hand of a drunkard. Or something that goes up into the hand of a drunkard. One who hires a fool or hires those passing by is like an archer who wounds everyone. As a dog returns to its vomit, so a fool repeats his foolishness. Well, there's a lot to break down. We should just pause for a second and start to break this down, because this is like the... And, you know, I've not done a song on this one, and I probably should, because it's just, it could be a lot of fun with Proverbs 26. But at the same time, we do, fall into these traps, and we need to be aware of it. And I speak a lot to leaders, because that's kind of my thing, right? And so to those that are in that stewardship position where they're leading others and managing other the work and the talents of others, you need to be aware of this, especially verse 10 here. It says, one who hires a fool or just hires somebody randomly passing by is like an archer who wounds everyone. This is something to be very much aware of, that you are not just harming yourself. You're not just harming your business. You're literally harming everyone else just by randomly hiring someone. Just because reasons. If you hire them based on their merit and what they can contribute to others, not just to you. If you're hiring them for that reason, if you are building up team members that are people that build up others around them instead of just ones that are opportunistic and trying to get ahead, or worse, ones that just have a sense of scarcity in their lives and are going to be that, like that one talent slave that just accuse everyone else of being the problem and not them. If that's the kind of fool you hire, you're just going to harm everyone else around you. You're going to, yeah, make that a thing that's going to be very much, very much a source of drama. And honestly, this visualization of proverb in the mouth of a fool, because of it twice, it is one of those things where it's just like people can say smart things and not have smart actions. They can say wise things but not have wisdom in their lives. And these are the people, by the way, let me say this to everyone. These are people that misquote scripture, okay? It says it twice here for a reason. Proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a lame legs that hang limp. A proverb in the mouth of a fool is like a stick with thorns brandished by the hand of a drunkard. Are you getting it? We do a disservice when we just have little snippets of scripture that we say, usually trying to prove ourselves right. If we just say, well, the Bible says that all money is evil, that the money is the root of all evil. If we say things like that without actually knowing what the scripture actually says, if we just say it like it's a fact, yeah, that's just what the Bible says. It's not what the Bible says. It's not. You're a fool. You're trying to make yourself not sound like one. Yeah, we know people like this. We know what that looks like, and it's important for us to be discerning and to not feed their fuel. Just like right up here, it says, don't answer our fool according to his foolishness. It's one of those kind of things where it's just like, don't give them the opportunity. Don't feed that fire. Don't give honor to that fool. Don't do it. Oh, yeah. No. Just give them that look of, seriously? Just going to keep, okay. Going to repeat that foolishness like you're going back to your own vomit. Okay, Do you see a man who's wise in his own eyes? There's more hope for a fool than for him. It's that whole, like, if you have been convinced that you're in the right for so long, more hope for a fool than him. It's one of those where that stubbornness, if that sets in, that it's actually worse now. You can be very, very smart and very formally wise, but if you're not overly humble and contrite and reserving your fear for God, then there's more hope for someone who's just a fool than for you, which is given what the position of hope for a fool is above here, given how that looks, does that seem like that's better or worse in your eyes? Do we see where pride fits in with the overall position with God? Do we see where pride is here? To say it's important to be humble is not even it's a severe understatement. Let's put it that way. The slacker says, there's a lion in the road. There's a lion in the public square. I love that this is quoted the same exact way. And the reason I say it's very snarkily is because it is, I believe, meant to be said just like that. The slacker says, I'm not going to go work. There's risk out there. Oh, I shouldn't go work. There's inflation. Oh, no, I shouldn't go, make an effort to be better at my job. There's just, I'm just going to lose it anyway. There's a lion in the road. It's the same thing, just different words, but it's just as ridiculous. If somebody literally said, I can't return to the office, I might get in an accident on the way. That's just, these kind of things are just so infuriating to me. It's like having reasons is one thing, and having, it's like, are you sure you want me back in the office? I'm probably more productive at home, and here's proof. That's one thing, but just trying to shirk the responsibility of being there and doing work by saying things like, oh, no, I'm just concerned about this. I might get sick. Somebody might get me sick at the office. I don't want to go into the office. I might get sick. Yeah, that's a person who's a slacker. That's a person who is like, they're not genuinely concerned. They're using that as an excuse to stay home and not do as much work. Okay, there's a difference. There's a difference in those that can prove that they're productive and those that aren't. And I'm in the work from home business, and I'm saying this. For crying out loud, that's been my claim to fame for years, and that's me saying this. That's me literally saying, no, I don't think so. It's about who you are. It's about your character. That's what it's about. Must be Sunday. I got into preaching. Verse 14. A door turns on its hinges and a slacker on his bed. A slacker buries his hand in the bowl. He is too weary to bring it to his mouth. In his own eyes, a slacker is wiser than seven men who can answer sensibly. That's, I see it so much. People work so hard on not doing work or avoiding work. They work so hard trying to avoid work. It is ridiculous. And that's a good way to say this. It's like, he's too weary to bring the bowl to his mouth. Oh, if only the bowl was just better designed so it would just feed me automatically. Oh, woe is me. If it sounds ridiculous, it's because it is. Verse 17. A person who is passing by and meddles in a quarrel that is not his is like one who grabs a dog by the ears. I don't know if you've ever grabbed a dog by the ear, but usually doesn't go well. Like a madman who throws flaming darts and deadly arrows, so is the man who deceives his neighbor and says, oh, no, I was only joking. Yeah, good luck with that. And we, again, this is character, right? This is not just words. We can't just do the apology tour. If you were deceptive, yeah, be careful. That whole I was only joking thing. Let me bring this up, just a personal share moment here. I recently encountered someone who was like this in college, and I had forgotten just how much they had wounded me in college because they were joking. I had forgotten about this until I was on LinkedIn randomly one day and had tried to call for some wisdom in a situation, not realizing that it wasn't really being asked for. And I got reminded very much of what we were talking about yesterday. But there was that whole thing of trying to be humorous in tearing me down. You know, he tried to lure me in. Oh, hey, you remember me from college? Oh, yeah. Well, you're this label and you're that person and that sort of thing. And it's just that lured me in. And I guarantee, you know, if I would have said anything, it's like, no, I was just joking around. I didn't mean that. This is nature. Don't be that person. Let your yes be yes and your no be, you know. Yeah. Verse 20. Without wood, fire goes out. Without gossip, conflict dies down. I talk a lot about gossip. It's one of those things where the reason I talk about it is because I believe so strongly that the church is being destroyed by it. That is the thing that kills churches from within is this. But just like this whole, oh, I was only joking thing, it's masked. Gossip is masked with, you know what? Pray for Cindy. She's going through a rough time right now and blah, blah, blah. You're not praying for Cindy. You're just wanting to say that she's going through a rough time so people think more about you. Knock it off. Oh, that worship team was so loud this morning, weren't they? That bass player, oh, gosh. See that long hair and that, he's just so loud and, we need to pray for him. We need to pray for that bass player. Three people that go to my church watching this are laughing right now. Verse 21. As charcoal for embers and wood for fire, so is a quarrelsome man for kindling strife. Hopefully I didn't just do that. A gossip's words are like choice food that goes down to one's most innermost being, the chambers of the belly. This is one of those that gets repeated again and again, and it's really key that we get this. This is why I bring this up. It seems like they're good. It seems like this is a good thing to be hearing this and to be, oh, well, it's just, I'll be praying for them or whatever. You know, it sounds like a choice morsel. But the problem is that it goes down into their stomach and you can't stop thinking about that. That's now their identity to you. You're not going to allow them to change because it festers. It just sits there and just eats at you. It goes down to your innermost being. It goes down to those places that just are very hard to change. That's the level of danger that this is. It's so important for you to see that. When it says the chambers of one's heart or the chambers of the belly, it's those places that, you know, don't think in terms of our medical knowledge now. Think in terms of then. But even still, our knowledge now, we know that there are places of the gut that things can just stick around there. They kind of get stuck. It's that kind of thing, you know, that takes surgery to get out. That's what gossip is. That's that little thing that's just going to get stuck in the intestines and just fester. Can you tell I don't like gossip very much? Just come at me, bro. Just come at me. Smooth lips with an evil heart are like glaze on an earthen vessel. Or burning lips with an evil heart. Interesting. A hateful person disguises himself with his speech and harbors deceit within. Ooh. The glaze, I think you can interpret that as the dross that silver has, when you refine silver, you end up with this not silver stuff, but it's kind of silver in nature. And so glazing a clay pot with that makes it look like the whole thing is made of silver, but it's a clay vessel and it's not actually silver on it. And so there's literally no value to it, even though it looks like it'd be valuable. I think that's what this is saying here. Verse 25, when he speaks graciously, don't believe him, for there are seven abominations in his heart. Though his hatred is concealed by deception, his evil will be revealed in the assembly. So the hatred might be concealed, but the evil will be revealed, which, again, is a good rhyme. I need to remember that one. Might be the title of the song for this chapter. Hatred is concealed, evil will be revealed. I don't know. Verse 27. Let's finish this up today. The one who digs a pit will fall into it. And whoever rolls a stone, it will come back on him. I think that's in reference to the thing above it. Those hatred is concealed by deception. His evil will be revealed in the assembly. The one who digs a pit will fall into it. And whoever rolls a stone, it will come back on him. Same kind of thing. Verse 28, a lying tongue hates those it crushes, and a flattering mouth causes ruin. Our words matter, but our character matters more. And so we've seen a couple of examples today. We've seen, honestly, the fun part, in a strange way, of identifying what fools are like. But we've also gotten the serious side of this, where it's just like, making sure we're aware of people that are, you know, just being a slacker or just being somebody who is not to be trusted. The person who is, you know, deceptive in their words or gossiping. So this for me to have a smile on my face is kind of amazing and yes, I am smiling. That's the way I smile. So to have this much negative and to still smile, why is that? Because I realize that there's a way out. I realize that there is a answer for all of this. That God has literally created the system already for all of this. It was created before the world was. This is what wisdom does. And this is what hope does. And this is what keeping our fear in the right place does. Instead of saying, the lion in the street, we reserve our fears for God alone. And we go to work. We do our thing. We use our talents. We embrace those gifts. We take the things that God has blessed us with, and we enhance those. We build those up. We take those talents and make them into an investment where the Father says at the end, well done, good and faithful servant. That's what I want you to be hearing as well. So I hope this has been a blessing to you today. I hope this is something where you will go from here and be blessed by the best, and then go be a blessing all the rest. Love you guys, and we'll see you again tomorrow, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, for another proverb every day. Love you guys. See you then.